Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, how to give a decision briefing. Here we go. So we need a decision from our boss and we can't get one. I don't know. Have you ever been in that situation before? So what do we do about it? Well, I'll tell you what I do. Most of I just complain to my peers about it.
Yeah. Well, everybody does, right? As soon as you complain to me, I complain to you about what I'm waiting on from him.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Just complain about our boss all day long.
Yeah.
But that's not a great recipe for success, nor is it going to change our boss's behavior, right? So there's things we can do to improve the situation a bit.
Yeah. Look, usually bosses don't make decisions because there's less pain associated with not making it than there is in making it, right? The problem is that once a boss makes a decision, she has the risk of being wrong. But until she makes the decision, very possibly the negative is that we get less time to take action because we're waiting on the decision. In other words, there's no pain for the boss to not make a decision, right? There is pain afterwards, potentially, if she's wrong, but there's no pain in delaying. And bosses aren't so cavalier, but if you've ever waited on a boss for a decision and you've wondered, it's at least in part because the risk for them goes up after they make the decision.
Right. And the risk for us is before. So given that, how do we get our boss to make a decision more quickly?
Well, you could threaten them. I mean,
okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. And so, you know, somebody's going to like turn off the podcast right now and go out and threaten
their boss. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, folks.
Good job.
My really lame attempt at humor. My apologies, folks. The way you do it is you professionally brief the boss in a way that's complete. And sometimes bosses delay because they don't feel like they have all the information and they don't feel like they're going to get it. And so what we need to learn how to do is present a decision briefing to our bosses that is full and complete and professional, that will make it easy for them to make the decision. And that, of course, increases the chances that we'll get what we want, which is a decision. We have 9 steps or recommendations in this cast, maybe a little bit longer cast, but...
Matt Beckwith just fainted. Sorry, Matt.
Is it really? is 9 too many?
I don't know. I
would love to have made this shorter, but I really do believe this is one of those casts that you're going to come back to over and over and over and over again. And it's a land of the blind cast, right? Nobody else is doing this. But this is how executives do it. This is how effective people who are really professional and on top of their game, this is how they do it. There's nothing in this model that is hard to comprehend. There's nothing complex. This is a classic management solution because it's not hard. It may be challenging to change our behavior, but there's nothing here that's hard to understand. It's just a matter of engaging in a new way of doing things to get better results. Right. Okay. So here's the 9. First of all, we're going to recommend that you use the Career Tools Decision Brief Model, which we actually, in a lame attempt at an acronym, call SOCR, which stands for situation, which is 2. We'll talk about the situation. 3 is options. 4 is comparison. 5 is recommendation, where you actually pick the best of the comparison you've just done of the options. And then lastly, request, where you actually ask for the decision. There, that's the SOCRR, which I have, no taint to you, partner, which I have called soccer. So you brief on the situation, the facts around the situation. You talk about the options that are available to you. You then compare the options, and first you have to share your criteria for the comparison, which we'll talk about. And then you make a recommendation, which is basically the fallout of your analysis in the comparison. And then you request, okay, boss, what's your decision? And for those of you who are uncomfortable closing an interview, you'll probably feel a little bit uncomfortable making a request, but that's how professionals do it. They make a request at the end of the briefing. If the briefing's for a decision, why not essentially say, I've given you enough information to make a decision. It's time to make a decision. Now, 7, we have a point 7, which is there are 2 things that junior managers often forget to do. Junior professionals often forget to do. They forget to factor in time and risk. And so we want to mention that. And we also recommend 8, that you use this SOCR model, situation, options, comparison, recommendation, and request. You use it all the time. regardless of whether your boss is a big decision or a small decision, this is a way of thinking about decisions that you can make as well as that you need from other people. And if you start thinking about it as a way of approaching things, the question is not, is this decision big enough to go through a decision brief? Rather, the question is, how long or short might the decision brief be? Maybe your decision brief will only be 3 or 4 slides if it's a fairly straightforward decision, or maybe you're just trying to decide which copy to purchase and it's only $1,000 or $2,000. Different if you're making a $50 million decision brief, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But in both cases, you want to use the model and you might expand it or contract it based on the significance of the decision that's involved. And then last one, tying this back into our beginning to be significant install base or library archive of podcast, effective decision briefs, particularly ones where you're talking to a number of people. And even though we talk about this cast being for boss, briefing your boss, it may be multiple bosses or executives in the room. Effective decision briefs are virtually always pre-wired. Okay. We've got a cast on how to pre-wire a meeting so that everybody in the meeting knows they've already been briefed in advance. So you're not surprised by how anybody's going to feel and you can incorporate their input in your decision brief. So we'll talk about that as well. That's the 9.
So let's get to the another problem. Lots of bosses don't make decisions when we need them to, frankly, because we haven't done our job. We haven't effectively told them what we need. And we haven't done anything more than, frankly, send them an email or pop by and mention that there's a decision waiting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is actually irritating, right? Hey, by the way, you owe me a decision. Oh, by the way, you owe me some stuff to help me make the decision.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what the Career Tools decision brief model addresses, giving your boss the information necessary for them to make a decision.
Right. If all you're doing is stopping by and reminding your boss, you're sending a message that the decision isn't that important because you haven't done what many bosses would consider to be a reasonable preparation for them about the decision. It's reasonable for the boss not to have to do the work, but to make the decision. In fact, this is a form of delegation. Someone else does all the work, puts together all the data and so on, because it's less expensive for us to do it than for our boss to do it. And the boss simply makes the decision.
We don't talk about, we don't say you can manage your boss, but this is certainly one way to influence your boss, because just the sheer fact that you went through the process of this decision briefing model and presented to your boss really sends a message that a decision is important.
Yeah. I think you're right. And if it's important, it needs to be made faster. Good point. If you put it together, it is going to come across as well thought out, well prepared. And frankly, most bosses are going to want to reward that behavior. Wow, if everybody did that, I'd make decisions faster. So let me reward the person who's doing it, right? And again, that's the briefing model is really simple. It's abbreviated SOCR, which is spelled wrong, SOCRR. Situation, options, comparison, recommendation, request. I suppose with a name like soccer, we have to admit it's an American model. Yeah. Otherwise, we would have called it football, but I don't know that would have worked. But this model will work anywhere. And basically what you do is that every time you need a decision from the boss, you go through this 5-step briefing preparation process, which is also a thinking clarification process. And by the way, for those of you with premium content, we've provided a simple PowerPoint template with basic guidelines so that you'll be able to fill in the blanks. And it gives you the way to think about it and a framework to put your decision brief into if you're going to use PowerPoint to present it to somebody. And now look, some of you are going to hesitate here because this is new and you're going to worry that you're going to get the details wrong or you're going to miss something. For many of us, putting together a briefing makes more obvious, frankly, any hole in our knowledge, any lack of solidness in our thinking, or any kind of missed assumption. And we understand that, right? This is Career Tools, right? We respect that this is new behavior, and there's a risk associated with the new behavior. The problem with that, though, is that most of us are unaware of the risks associated with the ineffective behaviors we've already become comfortable with, right? If you're listening, you're probably aware that you have behaviors that are ineffective. Certainly Mike and I are talking and we're aware, or at least I'm certainly aware of all the many ineffective behaviors I have. I hear about them every week.
Yeah, I'm aware of them as well.
Yeah, you're aware of mine. Yeah, good, good. I walked right into that one.
Don't say I'm not aware. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, just because you haven't been using this format up until now, don't assume there haven't been negative repercussions about the decisions that you've expected your boss to take.
Oh, yeah. There have been, for sure.
Right. Yeah, right. Your boss has delayed many times because you haven't done this work for her, right? And you basically not done the work that makes one of the decisions that she has to make easier. And look, additionally, we also know there are presentation risks associated with being a little bit more formal here, right? Keep in mind, though, there's really two parts to this. We're not going to have a two-part cast where we talk about the thinking process versus the presentation process. The presentation process basically clarifies the way you should be thinking, but there certainly is a presentation risk because you get more formal, right? It becomes more obvious, right? You have to do a little bit more work. Otherwise, some of the holes you have in your thinking won't be visible, or they will be visible if you don't do good work. The presentation risks, though, that you take in dotting your I's and crossing your T's and going through the soccer model are far smaller than the decision risks and the action risks, that the action that comes after the decision, and quite frankly, the reputational risks of not doing this simple preparation and delivery, because your boss knows that he's on the hook for the decision, but your boss also remembers who was the one that wanted the decision, and the person who wants the decision is, professionally, generally speaking, obligated to do some legwork to make the decision clear, to separate, to decide is to cut in two, right? It's which one should I choose? And to say, you have to make a decision, but oh, by the way, I'm going to leave it a cloud of messiness, is like saying, I want you to do my job. And oh, by the way, I don't care if you fail or succeed.
Yeah. And the first time you do it, you're not going to get it perfectly right. You're going to make some mistakes, right?
But yeah,
you're going to get major, major credit for knowing what to do and how to do it. And, you know, your boss is going to forgive you for your small mistakes when you step up your game like this.
Yeah. And look, you know, if you're a boss, folks, if you're a boss, if you're a manager, and hopefully you're listening to Manager Tools as well. If you're not, you ought to be, and it is free. But if you're a boss, folks, you got to use this cast to talk to your directs. This is something you can teach your directs. It's not just for you. I mean, this is Career Tools, so we're talking about you and your career. But why not make your career easier and your directs' careers easier and develop them by saying, look, you guys got to listen to this stuff, right? You definitely, look, if you're a premium content subscriber, please print out these show notes for your directs if you're a manager and share it with them and help them get better at it and say, this is the way we're going to do decisions from now on. And it may be hard for you, but you're going to be good at it when you get to my level and you're going to be learning it when I learn it. And I'm going to give you some feedback every time we do it. Okay. So that's what you do for your directs if you're a manager. But whether you're a manager or not, if your boss has never seen a really professional soccer model, you know, the Career Tools, that's the Career Tools acronym, right? But if they've never seen situation, option, comparison, recommendation, request done crisply, frankly, you'll probably hear about him using that model to brief his boss. And that is a self-licking ice cream cone.
Yeah. There's a win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So look, to be clear, you're going to need to prepare this briefing. Right. So we're going to walk you through the briefing now, the thinking behind the briefing and also the briefing itself and what might happen in the briefing as well, whether you're briefing one or many. And then you're going to have to schedule time to brief your boss once you do. And this cast is about preparing it, what the components are, how to think about each part, and then how to present it. And by the way, you'll hear us use a lot of when you brief to them. We're going to talk about briefing to a large group of executives. In my head, when Mike and I were working on the cast, I said, we're going to talk about a bunch of executives, because if you can do it for a bunch of executives, then you can easily do it for your boss. And the process and the thinking concepts behind it are the same.
Good. Okay, so now let's get to soccer. And the first one in soccer is situation. But are we missing something there?
Yeah, you got to do an introduction, right? Yeah, you got to do an introduction. Yeah, yeah. If you're ever briefing an executive group and, you know, you've done it before and now you're doing it with this, you'll feel a lot more confident. There'll be more risk on the front end in terms of getting your stuff together, but you're going to be a lot more confident walking in there. But basically, anytime you do that, you're going to start with some brief introduction, which basically we can call purpose, right? But we didn't want to call this thing.
Well, introduction is better because then we can call it iSoccer.
iSoccer,
right? It sounds kind of new and modern.
Yeah, it's an app. It's an app. Right. And look, for a decision briefing, for an introduction, you tell your boss or the group you're going to give a briefing to the purpose of the briefing. And you say to them, the purpose of this is to obtain a decision on whatever issue you need a decision on, right? And it's going to sound something like this. Good morning. The purpose of my briefing today is to obtain a decision from you regarding which vendor to choose for supporting our new location on the Monterey Peninsula. Okay? Now, look, this is an important distinction. Notice that within about 10 words, I've said the word decision. I've said obtain a decision. It's important. We don't recommend you say, I'm here to brief you on our location on the Monterey Peninsula and the vendors we're considering, let's say, for instance. If you do that, more senior level folks, and quite frankly, your boss probably as well, are going to immediately assume that you're giving them an information briefing, which is really just an update and often has chronological factors associated with it. And when I have coached executives on this, you might think, well, but I'm about to tell them I'm going to need a decision. And the fact is, if you start out the way I just suggested, hey, you know, I'm here to brief you on the location of our Monterey Peninsula. And if there's any hint at all that this might be a standard information briefing, and then in a minute you get to the fact that there's a decision involved, it may very well be too late. Okay? Now, look, if it's just your boss you're briefing, your boss probably knows it's a decision brief. It's just going to be you and him. Okay, maybe your boss will tolerate the sloppiness. But why lose an opportunity to practice in front of your boss, who hopefully you trust a little bit more to give you feedback, and it's a little bit less risk getting feedback from your boss or coaching from your boss rather than from a group of executives you don't know? Well, why practice, you know, with one glove and then play with another glove, right? Why sloppy it up now thinking, well, it's just my boss, and then have to go in front of executives and do it the right way? Practice the way you're going to play. Folks, you've got to say quickly, almost immediately, that the purpose of your briefing is to obtain a decision. If you don't, you're in danger of sinking into the mire of everybody else's briefings. You've sat there, you've listened to it, you've tuned out when somebody says, hey, let me give you a quick update or whatever. Basically, that's what people do a lot of. If your decision briefing is at any time mistaken for an information briefing, you won't achieve your purpose because you won't get a decision. The reason why is because the moment you're given an information briefing, your audience is going to tune out. They'd prefer to save time by reading your slides or a one-page memo or something, anything that summarizes your points so they can move on to what they do, which is to decide things, right? You know, if I don't have to decide, then, well, it's kind of background.
Yeah. Right? If you're a manager tools listener, this is very similar to the principle of when you're delegating, asking folks to accept the delegation before going into all the details. When you make it clear to your boss that you're expecting a decision, she's tuned into the fact that, in fact, she has to make a decision, and her antenna, her ears, are much more tuned to what you're saying, and you're likely to get one. Because if they don't know, and at the end you ask them for a decision, and they haven't been paying attention,
yeah,
you know, go back to that whole risk thing. They're going, maybe I'm not ready, and they're going to delay. They're not going to tell you why, but they're going to delay making a decision, which defeats the whole purpose of the decision brief.
And then what's worse, they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, when you ask somebody above you for a decision, they know that that's part of their job. And if they didn't know that that's what you're briefing them on, what they're going to do is they're probably going to throw you under the bus, right? So
they're not going to say, well, I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was completely rude and inappropriately not paying attention to your very important briefing. So please, would you mind giving it again and put everybody here in total pain because of my stupid error?
You sound like all my bosses I've had.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, we haven't talked about situation. We're just talked purpose so far, or in introduction. We don't even have the letter I in our soccer acronym, right? But look, you've got to state your purpose immediately, early. If you really want to be clever, and we owe everybody a cast about this, Mike, there's an old Army rule, or I was told it was an Army rule. Maybe it was because that was my first job out of college, or out of what passed for college for us. You know, there's an old rule. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And you want them to understand very quickly what is coming. What is the purpose? Tell people at the start, this is where we're headed. It's like getting in your car and driving for 5 minutes and somebody saying, where are we going? So, well, I don't know. Let's decide. Right? Well, are we further away now than we were when we started? I don't know. Right. So our recommendation in terms of a purpose statement that is combined with a basic wireframe or framework for the entire briefing would sound like this. Good morning. The purpose of my briefing today is to obtain a decision from you regarding which vendor to choose for supporting our new location on the Monterey Peninsula. I'm going to share the basic situation and facts with you, and then I'm going to lay out the options we're considering. I'll do a comparison of the options, followed by my recommendation for which option to choose, and then I'll ask for your decision. Pretty simple.
Yeah. They're on the hook now.
Yeah. Okay. So now, having said that, and that's a really, again, we need to do a whole cast about, briefing introductions, but let's go back to the first, quote unquote, point in the model, which is situation. What we're going to do in this first part of the Career Tools decision briefing, the soccer model situation, is lay out the facts and basic parameters surrounding the decision. Situation is where you talk about the facts, about the situation that exists around this decision. Okay. For instance, if you were asking for a decision to fund a new retail site, we alluded to that already, right, in our example. Forget about the vendors for a moment. You're funding a new retail site on the Monterey Peninsula, and the decision is between two different choices, or no site at all, right? You would describe the market research, the development work, competitor locations, local construction costs, environmental impact reports, those things that go into for the final decision of, okay, where are we going to site a particular retail location? I'm sure if we were going to put an In-N-Out burger on the Monterey Peninsula, we would do full work so that it would be very close to our houses.
Yeah, I'd want to be on that project.
Yeah, exactly, right? On the other hand, if you were asking to buy a new piece of manufacturing operations software, let's say, for, running the plant, plant automation, for instance, maybe you're monitoring inventory levels, you'd include in the situation the present cost of inventory handling, right? Or the present cost of loss of inventory because of lack of handling, the time it takes to prepare reports using existing systems, the cost of maintenance of existing systems, anecdotal evidence, perhaps, from people on the floor, competitors' systems, competitors' numbers, analytical numbers, if we had them, regarding their inventory systems and so on.
Yeah, and notice, folks, that that's not a history, right? Which is a common mistake
to make. Yeah, it's a common mistake, right? It comes from the idea of a narrative, right? Or making a dramatic presentation. And unfortunately, so much of what we know today about drama comes from stories, right? And stories are inherently chronological and therefore have some history associated with them. But please don't fall into the trap of giving your audience the history of how you and or your team got to where you are today, quote unquote, right? The situation is essentially where you are now, and you focus on the facts of the now rather than on how you got where you are. If you find yourself using the phrase, and then we did this, and then we did this, and so on, the a la dude, where's my car,
yeah,
right? You've gotten into a history or a dramatic story territory. There's nothing wrong with talking about things you've done, but you don't talk about them chronologically. You talk about the fact that the things you've done essentially are indicative or illustrative of the situation you're in now, right? You don't say, we did an environmental impact report. You say, the environmental impact reports say this, okay? Asking for a decision is not the time. Listen to this carefully. Is not the time to tell a dramatic story. Let the power of your recommendation and the strength of your comparison be the drama, the fact that one is better than two and two, or two is better than three. Avoid telling stories despite what everybody is going to tell you. It's only for really big, particularly organizational change initiatives, which we've talked about that before, right? Having a visual, having something visual that can capture people. It's only for those really big or particularly unique decisions that we recommend some sort of drama. And actually, it would only be drama around a brief story or anecdote rather than giving a chronology in the beginning. If you start a decision brief after your introduction with let me give you a brief background about how we got where we're going, every executive in the room will just as soon tip his or her bed back and say, wake me up when you get to the options and the comparison, right? They just are. The value of this process, both in thinking and in delivery, in the delivery of the briefing, really is about the workmanlike value of the model. It's not about cleverness. It's not about drama. It's not about surprise or interesting little bits of information. It is about dotting your I's and crossing your T's and creating a rock solid basis for someone else to feel good about a decision with information that came from you.
Yeah. Well, you know, the situation piece, what if I've done a number of informational briefings, right? And this has happened many times, right? Where the decision is the culmination of a series of information briefs. So they already have heard all that information. Isn't going over that again just too much? Can't I just skip it?
Yeah, right. Because projects lead to decisions, right? And so we're doing the environmental impact study, or, you know, hey, we got traffic people out there. We got a traffic consultancy. We picked the consultancy and now they're giving us models and so on for, you know, turning and so on. I mean, the book, by the way, folks, the book on the dimensions of parking, there's a college textbook for engineers called The Dimensions of Parking. It's thick. And it describes how big your parking spaces should be. And those are things that are considered in retail site discussions, right? So all this stuff has been a part of, in most cases, decisions are the culmination of projects, and projects have been briefed with chronological updates all along, with information briefs, if you will.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like I'm telling them stuff that they already know.
Yeah, right. They're going to be this. I got it. Move along. You know, right? I mean, how many? I want to see a show of hands. I love that part. I want to see a show of hands of those of you who have been in a discussion and you handed out PowerPoints in advance of your briefing and you saw people more senior than you flipping through your PowerPoints to get to the next to last or the last page where the number or the date or the timing or the red and green charts are, right?
Yeah. Gerald, you can put your hand down, please.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right. They're probably going to sound like, we know this, move along, get to the stuff we want you to get you to. And our guidance here is resist this suggestion to move quickly through the situation. You know, look, we don't know who you're going to be presenting to. So it's possible if you cross them, they're going to crucify you, right? Okay, pun intended on that one. Generally, we recommend you counter with something polite along the lines of, I'd love to in the interest of time, and unfortunately, there are a couple of situational points that the comparisons are built on, so I'm going to cover them just real quickly and get right to the options and comparisons for everyone, right? And this way, you're going to acknowledge the request. You're going to say you're going to speed up, right? You're going to do what they ask you to do. And look, we do recommend you be a little bit more brief if, in fact, than you'd planned on being, if, in fact, you hear that from your audience. But don't skip situation entirely to get to options. Not everyone who's been at every meeting heard everything you or other people have been have briefed, right? Even if it's just you and your boss, it helps to remind, it helps to build the foundation, and the situation is the foundation. Without the situation, the need for the decision doesn't exist, right? Different folks hear different things based on their role and their interests, right? And further, here's something else that people don't understand when they're doing a briefing. This is true of presentations more broadly as well. You've likely built your presentation on following the logic of the slides and your discussion points about what you know and what you've already said, right? So if you skip too quickly, you're going to regret something you may have left out in the situation by going too fast. And later you're going to regret it. And when you have to go back and recover it, you make the person who encouraged you to go fast look bad. And unfortunately, those kind of things make a difference, particularly in touchy decision briefs.
Yeah, agreed. I've seen that 1,000 times.
Yeah, yeah. They want to go fast, and then they regret it, and then you're the one holding the bag. And you're the one briefing. You're responsible for your briefing. If somebody makes a suggestion which you follow, that ain't their suggestion that's a problem. It's you following it that's a problem.